today on Real Radio.
Scripture was not given to us by man. Men wrote it mechanically with their hand moving. God breathed on them. God told them this is what. In fact, the Bible says that they prophesied even not knowing what they were writing. You say, well, that's insane. I agree, until it all starts coming to pass.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for being with us today as we head towards the end of Isaiah. We've seen the hand of God over everything that's happening in both Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in bodily form. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return, when He'll rule and reign and bring His form of justice to the world. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 59, we learned that the world is searching for what's real in all the wrong places. God came to earth to reveal Himself first to Israel and then to the rest of the world. He is the only answer to what is real and what is relevant in our lives. If we allow ourselves to be caught up in the ways of the world, we'll never be satisfied. Jesus, as our Savior, is the only pathway towards fulfillment. So today on day 3 of chapter 59, Pastor Jack tells us to trust in the Lord. He knows the future, and He's the God who saves us from eternal sorrow. God is calling you to come, but you've got to decide whether or not to turn from your sin and put your faith in Him. And now continuing his lesson called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This demonic trinity, there's the false prophet who's a religious leader that the Bible says the Antichrist uses, and that religious leader is depicted as a woman in the Bible with robes riding on the back of a beast. And the Bible says that when that beast is done using her, the religious entity, I believe personally, my persuasion, I believe that it is a picture. Europa is in Greek mythology. Seems so innocent, but why does the book of Revelation describe someone who looks just like that? What's that all about? Could it be that the spirit world just recycles things? Could it be that if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it? Is God saying something? Doesn't the Bible say that God spoke and revealed the gospel to Abraham in the stars? How's that? God is always speaking. What's interesting about this, the beast carrying this woman, the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist is done using her, don't politicians use religions? For a politician, religion is the useful idiot. Did you know that? Hitler did it. Mussolini did it. Everybody does it. Nimrod did it. The Bible says this man is going to use a global, worldwide ecumenical church, a worship system that includes everything. My goodness, just in our town here, did you see the news, local newspaper the other day? Where there is a Catholic Muslim prayer meeting. They both have rosaries, by the way. Did you know that? Islam and Catholicism have rosaries. Both honor Miriam. Mary. Interesting. I've been invited to ecumenical prayer meetings. I have never gone. I can never go. I've even thought, well, maybe I'll go and I'll share the Lord. And every time the Lord has said, you're not going. Listen, here's the thing. This man is going to use religion, and the Bible says that he's going to turn on her and destroy her. And when you read the book of Revelation, What's remarkable about the quick rise of the Antichrist? Jesus said, look up, because when you see these things begin to happen, know that your deliverance, your redemption is near. What's amazing about this, see, you and I tonight consider and say, wow, that's crazy, man. That's wild. Yeah, you know, you sure. But it's all in the Bible. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Because since May 14th, 1948, you got to sit up and take notice here. You can be a full-blown absolute unbeliever, atheist, whatever. You can be very confident in your system of worldview, whatever you have. That's your business. But how do you explain to me May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation in one day? In fact, really, God used one man to make it happen. He just flat out, basically, he kind of did a Trump thing. Harry Truman said, you nations, you either follow and take my lead or basically drop dead. But here's the deal. The United States is going to wreck it. And look, isn't it? God's amazing. Because after World War II, the world owed us money. Did you know that? We delivered Europe from Hitler. Japan owed us money. Europe owed us money. That's how the dollar became the gold standard. Because the world owed America so much for its deliverance in 1945. God established the clout of the United States. Why? Because God knew 1948 was coming. And when the world said, no Jew, no Israel for us, Truman said, oh, guess what? You owe us money. And we're going to declare now Israel to be a nation. We're going to recognize it. And it happened in a day. The book of Isaiah says, shall a nation be brought forth in one day, and can a people come together again? The answer to that is yes, if you're Israel. And so since 1948 to now, these things are aligning. And I know how you and I are. It would all make much more sense to us if God did it overnight. Do it quick, so I can see it all happen. We like that. We like time elapsed, you know, high-speed photography. We want to see the building go up. There it is. Whoa, that was easy. Listen. Things sometimes go slow. There's only one time in the Bible where it says, it ain't going to go slow. Things go slow. That's why you need to know this book. Because this book, listen, Scripture was not given to us by man. Men wrote it, people will say. Men wrote it. Men wrote it. Men mechanically with their hand moving, God breathed on them. God told them this is what. In fact, the Bible says that they prophesied even not knowing what they were writing. You say, well, that's insane. I agree. Until it all starts coming to pass. And it's like, oh, what? Alexander the Great? Written down in advance, and then some guy's born, Philip of Macedon, has a kid who as a teenager winds up conquering the world. And the book of Daniel completely anticipated him and describes him. And the Bible even says that when Alexander died, remember how he died? The great warrior? Did he die in battle? He got drunk. It was raining. It was cold. He got drunk. He was crying. He had been crying for months, by the way. Do you guys remember why he was crying? He was crying because there was no more worlds to conquer. There were no more wars to fight. Fell into deep depression. He got drunk, fell in the gutter, got pneumonia, and died. You say, well, what? So what? What? Ah, the Bible says in the Scripture that when this leader would die, that his kingdom would be divided among four. And when he died, his four lead generals to the globe. Now, I'm going into ancient waters here, and I'm an old guy, so I can't remember this stuff, but Ptolemy was one of them. He had this region of the world. You know the four corners of the earth? So this general, Seleucid is the other one, Cassandra, and Lysimachus, right? These four, they went to his bed and he breathed his last and Alexander died and they looked at each other and they said, we'll divide the kingdom among us four. They didn't even know the Bible. Daniel was already available to them. They either knew it or didn't know it. I believe they didn't know it. They wound up dividing the kingdom. Scripture talks about that. Scripture tells us in great detail how Nebuchadnezzar would rise to power and be the greatest world leader ever. No one has ever had the power since Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible describes him, gives you his name, tells you who his daddy is, and how he would rise to power, and how God would use this crazy genius general of battle once he became the king of the world, Babylon, how God would use him to discipline and then bless the Jewish people. Cyrus of the Medo-Persians, by name, written down 150 years before Cyrus was born. His name was in the Bible. And this Cyrus, he had to have his name in the Bible. He had to grow up and to become king of the Medo-Persian Empire, and so he was, so that even when he came to destroy Jerusalem, the priest of Jerusalem went out to meet him, and they said, stop. Your name is in the Bible. And it is Persian history where Cyrus sees his name in the ancient scriptures, spares Jerusalem, not only spares it, but winds up investing in it and supporting it and commissions the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which is why Israel now is doing a commemorative coin for Trump having moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Like what? It's like that. God uses people. And it's all in the scriptures. And it's just awesome. And we never even got to the book of Isaiah again tonight. All to say Bible prophecy, God's word. See, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I know that whatever's happening tomorrow, God is sitting on his throne and there ain't nothing that's going to happen that's without his attention. And God, he says, I set up kings and I pull them down. What's the word? Is it nearsighted or farsighted? When we can't see our nose. What is that called? Nearsighted? You don't know either. I'm here in foresight. Doesn't matter. If you can't see beyond your nose, here's what happens. We think, oh, well, you know what? You know, it's amazing to me. We'll end with this. God knows exactly what's going on, and yet in his sovereignty, but remember, he's outside of our time. He looks into our time zone. So he looks in, and you can never reconcile this. Don't even try. I'm serious. Well, if God knows everything, then I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here. In fact, you said Jesus could come back. Well, let's just go sit outside and wait. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to live like he's not coming back for 1,000 years. It's called occupy till he comes. So you live ready for him now, but you're also, listen, saving money for your grandkids when you're dead and gone and plowing the field, putting seed now for harvest next year. Are you with me? You're supposed to do that. While at the same time, God says, I raise up kings and I pull them down. Well, I'm not going to vote then. You see? No, listen. He gives you the freedoms and opportunities to exercise because he's going to hold you responsible for how you used what you used to what was available. What if God wants this guy to be in power and I vote the other way? You don't know who God wants in power. This is so brilliant of him. You and I are supposed to do the right thing about everything. How you act at your job, how you treat your husband, how you treat your wife, how you spend your money, the words you use, how you treat people, how you treat strangers. All you do, everything. The Bible says in everything that you do, do it all to the glory of God. Why? Because he knows the beginning and he knows the end. Yeah, well, you know what? No, you know what? What? This is, you and I are supposed to do the right thing. We don't know who's going to arise and who's going to fall. We don't know if the sun is going to be rising tomorrow in a cloudy sky or a clear sky. The point is this, God knows how it all ends. And because we know how it ends, we trust him. And my question to you tonight is, do you trust this God who knows your future? He literally knows your future. Well, I don't even know what school I'm going to go to yet. He already knows. Well, why doesn't he tell me which one to go to? Oh, he will. Have you prayed? Do you talk to him? He'll lead you. Well, I need a job. Well, here's probably what's going to happen. You pray, you seek him. You're not going to get one job offer. You'll get two. Have you noticed that? I haven't had a job for months. You're going to get the same. You probably get two offers on the same day. No, what do I do, God? This is some cosmic joke. Nope. If you're walking with God, walk with him, pick one. Pick one who bless you. Why? Because he knows. Father, I don't know what happened tonight, but your word is awesome. Lord, there's probably poor people here so confused they just, I don't know, I hope not. God, you're the God, you're the one who says, I know the end from the beginning. Oh, so we worry for what? So we're anxious, why? He knows everything, my friend. Did the doctor tell you something today? God knew about it all the time. Did your boss say something to you today? Did your family hear something? God knew. He knows. He's not surprised. He's speaking. Maybe you're here tonight. And you're wondering, yikes, the God of the Bible, he's like relevant. You know what? If there's a word beyond relevant, it would be prophetic. He is before tomorrow, friend. You know, he's before the day you die. He was before your birthday, and he'll be before the day you draw your last breath. And the question to you tonight is, do you know the God who saves? You cannot give me one logical argument and reason why you do not believe in him. You cannot. The moment we talk, you'll go emotional. You'll go personal. And you'll do everything to avoid the fact he's real. Down deep inside in your heart, you know that there's this ember burning. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, there may be an absolute reason I trust that this night went the way that it did, completely opposite of my notes and study. Is there a reason? Is it for a purpose tonight? I believe that 100% he's God. Is it for you tonight? That's what you have to decide. Will you let him be God? Will you receive his offer? Because listen, he will not barge, knock down, blow up the door of your heart to get in. He will not put you in a headlock and force you. He will not bring you to a place of compulsion. He will not make you bow your knee in this world and say, now tell me you love me. Nope. He invites you. Tonight, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you say tonight, listen carefully, I want this God of the Bible, then friend, if it's true, then he's the God who forgives sins. That means you have to know that you're a sinner for your sins to be forgiven. He's the Savior, but that means you must first recognize you're lost. He's the Redeemer. He's going to take your past and your present, and he's going to fix it. But that would assume that you've got something to be ashamed of, and he'll redeem you. If that's you tonight, and you're willing, wanting, desiring to join the family of God, which is not a membership, friend, it's a decision you make tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looks. If you're saying yes to Jesus, will you slip your hand high tonight? God bless you. Several of you in the back. Where you're at tonight and you've raised your hands, you can put your hands down. You would say, dear Jesus, come into my life. God, these few moments of hearing about your expanse, your reach, history is but a line that's in front of you, God. You're infinite and eternal. But tonight, I would call you Jesus Christ, my Lord. That tonight, Lord, I'm believing, based on this beautiful fact, actually, of Bible prophecy, your very Bible said that you would come and die and rise from the dead before you were ever born into this world to save us. I put my trust in you tonight, Jesus. I don't know exactly what I'm doing. I just know I need to come to you. I don't have all the answers, God. I need help. But I know that I need to give you my life, and I do that now. You tell him, friend, just like that, I'm doing that now with you, Jesus. And remember this is not religion. You have not come here tonight for religion. Tonight you have come because God knew that you need to meet the ultimate relationship in Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 2. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And if you're still struggling to find some meaning in this world, God is with you. He is the answer to what's real and what's relevant in your life. What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you haven't made the decision yet to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, because maybe you've got a few questions, well, we'd love to help you out with that. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack has a short video for you to watch on what it means to have salvation through Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and God loves us so much that he provides a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. There's also a space provided for you to give us your email address in case you still have more questions or you want to leave a comment. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God, and you'll find that deciding to follow Christ will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.